This episode is brought to you by Skillz, the worldwide leader in mobile esports. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to skillz.com/GFQ on your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z. And download your favorite games. When you make a deposit, Skillz will double it. And when you use the promo code GFQ, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. That's skillz.com/GFQ. Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the one, the only, the inventor of the Puru style, Rich Stemble.
That's right. Fucking 20 minutes. I need 20 more minutes of that before
just
I give up.
And with us for the first time in studio. Actually, no, it's not your first time in studio. You were here once before.
Yeah, SummerSlam weekend.
You didn't come on the air, though.
No.
No, Damien from The Last Mark Standing.
Yes. Hey, everybody.
We've had Trina on 5,000 times.
Yes.
And now it's time for you to be on.
Yeah. The Marty Jannetty of the group is now on the show.
Well, you know what, though? You're in studio. Was she on the show in studio? She was not.
No, because you were like, if you guys want to get on the air, you got to pay me $200.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I forgot. I asked them. I pulled a Carney wrestling move, and I said, hey, guys, if you want a picture, $25. Who did that? Vader did that to you, right?
Yeah.
No, Vader's manager.
Vader's manager.
Hey, if you want to put on the helmet. How much was it for the helmet? $80?
$120 for the whole package of putting on the mask and on helmet and making it toot or whatever the F they wanted to do. A picture with him and like a handshake.
Wow.
And you could sit on his lap and talk to him like he's Santa.
Like he's Santa? I would do that. I actually would pay $120 to sit on Vader.
Tell me what you want for Christmas.
That's a good Vader, actually.
Also a good Danny Trejo.
That's a very good one. Guys, we have so much to talk about. Wrestle Kingdom 11 happened. The WrestleMania version for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal show, and the first six-star match was given out to Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. The first six-star match.
From Dave Meltzer. I feel like, you know what? Okay, when I saw that, I was like, ah, that's a little weird. But I feel like after all these years of this guy covering pro wrestling, mm-hmm. that he's actually feeling that, like, that spirit of, like, you know, like, the dude loves the Young Bucks, you know, and it's very tongue-in-cheek. And yeah. I think he was probably just like, you know what? I'm gonna blow up the internet a little bit.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
The only ever six-star rating for any match, right?
Yeah.
Ever.
Only ever.
Of
ever.
All time.
Well, official six-star. He gave a six-star match. Was it Flair that he gave a six-star match? But it really wasn't official. He said if he could have given his six stars, like, looking back in hindsight, mm-hmm. he would have given it six stars.
Okay, that makes sense.
I forgot what match it was. Someone in the chat room probably knows.
But also, that Meltzer scale is subtracted from 10.
No, yeah, right? minus five.
Minus five.
Oh, yeah, okay. Minus five.
Yeah.
So -5 to 5. So this is the new standard. We're going to talk mm-hmm. about all of that. But before yeah. we do, let's talk about our sponsor, and that's Skillz, the worldwide leader in mobile esports. Play the games you love and win real cash prizes. Go to skillz.com/GFQ on your iOS or Android device. That's Skillz with a Z, and you can download your favorite games. When you make a deposit to Skillz, Skillz will double it. That's right. And when you use the promo code GFQ, you'll get an additional $10 in free bonus cash. That's skillz.com/GFQ. Go there right now and sign up. Every Skillz game is free to play, by the way. They don't charge you for games. But what's really cool is that you have the option of competing for real cash prizes. You could win real money playing the games you love on your phone. In fact, you could win up to $100 on a single tournament with the entry fees of as low as a penny. Skillz offers a variety of games on iOS and Android devices, including puzzles, bubble popping, perfect for me, bowling, pool, solitaire, and a lot more. Go to skillz.com/GFQ. Skillz with a Z, and you can learn more and download your favorite games. I want to thank Skillz for supporting Matt Men. I think we're the only pro wrestling podcast that they're on. We're the only pro wrestling podcast. So, Damien, before we go, Last Mark Standing?
Yeah, Last Mark Standing, lastmarkstanding.com.
You guys have been doing this for a while?
Yeah, we've picked up traction.
You guys are engulfed in the Matt Men ecosystem. We have created this very nice alliance mm-hmm. of podcasts. I feel like we are like the NWA. of podcasting, of pro wrestling podcasting. We have a group of friends,
right.
You being one of them. Derek is another one in the chat room. There's a lot of people that do podcasts in the chat. And we've kind of created this like nice mesh of podcasts that we all get along, we all hang out, and we all talk, and we all intertwine into each other's stuff, which I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, go to lastmarkstanding.com. You could go and listen to the show. Very different perspective than a lot of other podcasts out there. You and Trina do a phenomenal job. If you want a different, you know, it's more of a personal look into professional wrestling. Also, you guys do an indie show, too.
Yes, we do. Indie Pop on New Age Insiders Network.
Yeah.
Just covering straight independent wrestling. Trina and I get really in-depth about it. And for me personally, I was never much of an indie guy until earlier this year. And now I'm just an addict. Now I'm just front row every event now. So
yeah. Two things. Where can people find you online?
Oh, at Dare to Be Damien on Twitter. I'm pretty much all over the place. On Facebook, I'm in the chat room. Damien Salty G or Damien Grassi, whichever one.
So
what would your indie name be? Sorry.
My indie name?
Yeah, what would your indie name be?
See, mine would be like a porn derivative, because growing up, like in high school, people thought I would own a porn company.
Yeah, perfect. So, I mean, that's a good goal to have. Yeah.
That's another episode that we could talk
about. Yeah, were you really into porn?
Were you really sleazy in high school?
No, it was one of those things where I had this dream to like run a porn company in high school.
Like a production company.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love Jenna Hayes. Like Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. So essentially, like my name would have been Jam Jam Gigolo.
Jam Jam Gigolo. That's great, actually.
I like that.
So talking about indie wrestling, you are going to be, so I did not know this, but you're going to be at Next Level Wrestling Stage 4 Arcade Anniversary.
Yes, I am.
Which I will be also, and I'm doing color commentary.
Sweet.
With JD from New York. Is your headphone a little too loud?
Yeah, it's a little too loud.
I'm yelling today.
You did.
I'm like, screaming.
I also think I got to bring a new pair in, because these are starting to get like a little poppy.
All right. Mm. I'm going to be doing color commentary along with JD from New York, podcaster, YouTube sensation. He will be doing the play-by-play. I'm going to be on color. You are going to be there. I had no idea.
Yes, I am.
If you guys are in the New York area, in the Long Island area, and you want to see some really cool independent wrestling, go to NLW. They're going to be at the NYWC Sportatorium, a very good venue to watch wrestling. That's 435-13 Brook Avenue in Deer Park, New York. Tickets are available right now at next-level-wrestling.ticketleap.com. We'll have a link in our show notes. But very decent card. Rude Boy Riley is going to be there versus David Starr. Who else was on there?
I know TJ Marconi is going to be on.
TJ Marconi is going to be there. Johnny Silver versus Matt McIntosh. Flawless and Lawless is going to be there. A lot of great independent wrestlers. Yeah, great name.
Are you going to be in the crowd?
There's also a Rumble. Yeah. It's also going to be a 12-player Rumble Arcade and a six-man tag also.
I feel like they're going to play like Sega Genesis games
ring. Yeah, I really hope they do that. Manny Martinez versus Sonny Kiss and a whole lot more.
Oh, Sonny Kiss is awesome, by the way. Like, if you've seen Sonny live, you'll be put back a little bit because of the gimmick. It's very flamboyant and such, but can work.
Yeah.
Can work really well.
Guys, I think you guys should all go to the show. If you are in the New York area, I will be there. Damien will be there. Maybe Rich, are you coming?
I might. Yeah, I might do a run-in. I was supposed to do commentary on your commentary, remember?
Yeah, he's doing commentary on my commentary.
If you want more
information, look at our show notes. We'll have it there. Let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom, and then we'll go into everything else.
Please. Please.
I watched all of it straight. I watched it with Coco.
Yes.
He was, it was his last night here after living with me for 3.5 weeks, which was fascinating.
Oh, that went by super quick,
that went by very fast, thank God. He was a very, very good person to have here. So it was his first ever New Japan experience. He's never watched any New Japan wrestling. He knew nothing about the guys. He was doing some homework while he was doing it. 6 hours of watching wrestling, straight up, no breaks, was, you know, we complain about Raw being long, right? But everybody says, Raw's too long. Mm. When a show is done right, you don't feel it.
Yeah.
I did not, you know, obviously 6 hours is a long time to commit to watching wrestling. Watching anything for 6 hours is a long time. But the last 4 matches on this card were so good. You had, I mean, it just went by like this. This was, for all its shortcomings this year that New Japan had, which were a lot, they lost a lot of key players. Ibushi wasn't there. Nakamura was gone. AJ Styles was gone. Tanahashi was hurt. Mike Elgin got hurt towards the end of this year. Bullet Club had a weird transition. There were a lot of key pieces that were pivotal for them in 2015 that were out in 2016. They really, I mean, with their back against the wall, did a phenomenal job with telling the story of Kenny Omega's rising.
Oh, absolutely.
And they took a guy that was a junior heavyweight wrestler, great wrestler, you know, hardworking, and they put him to this main event position overnight. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Mike Elgin. Mike Elgin got a great push this year. The old guard of Okada and Tanahashi kind of went back a little bit. And Naito. Naito did unbelievable this year. This was the end of the year for them. This was a great way to start a new storyline. And man, I have to tell you, I was blown away by the match quality.
Yeah, everybody came out looking very good, and it pushed a lot of people. And I think after the defection last year, Gato was probably like, I got to really come up with something fantastic to do with my guys. I got to lock my guys in. And this is exactly how you do it. If you look at the card and if you look at the way the matches played out, this was kind of more of an old school style Wrestle Kingdom where, you know, like it was more traditional in terms of like wrestling style and match quality. Do you guys want to go through the card?
Yeah. So let's go through it really quick. So I know both of you did not watch all the matches. You watched the important ones.
I missed the majority of them.
Okay, so I can fill in the blanks there. But at first, the New Japan Rumble was first.
That was hilarious.
Yo, Billy Gunn, man.
Billy Gunn, Big Scott Norton, man.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't know Scott Norton was going to be in there, but I also didn't expect Billy Gunn to look as jacked as he did.
Dude, he looks 53 years old. This dude is on some good stuff.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, he looks great. He was good in the ring. He moved well. Mm-hmm. It's alarming, though, when you take a guy like Billy Gunn. You know, you take a WWE guy and you put him into Japan. Like a real WWE. I'm not talking about like an AJ Styles, right? Like a real WWE guy.
Mm-hmm.
He put him into Japan or any other group. You realize how gigantic the WWE wrestlers are.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, Billy Gunn was towering over Mike Elgin.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I was shocked. Because Mike's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea how big Billy Gunn is and how small Mike is when it comes to his height.
Billy Gunn is like old school big.
Old school big. Yeah. I mean, big, blonde, beautiful, busty.
Yeah.
Really busty.
Perfect
really
tan.
Really busty. Perfect tan. Everybody was tan on the show, by the way.
Yes.
You knew that people were stepping it up by their tan. You know what? It got one star. It was fun.
Of course.
Of course. Listen, it was fun. You got a lot of the older dudes that came in.
Cheeseburger.
Onita was there.
Yeah.
Hiro, Onita was there. Cheeseburger was there.
Liger.
Man, Liger.
Tiger Mask. Great. Who else was in it?
Yoshihatsu, Yuji Nagata.
Whatever his name is.
Yoshitatsu. Yeah, I hate Yoshitatsu.
Nakanishi.
Nakanishi was
there. And Taguchi.
Taguchi Nada, but who else? Who else was the old dude that was in there? Kobayashi?
What?
Yeah, it was Kobayashi. Kobayashi was 60 years old. The dude looked great.
Is he 60?
60 years old. The guy was gigantic.
And Captain New Japan, too. I feel like Captain New Japan's like 70.
No, not Captain New Japan.
Bone Soldier.
Bone Soldier.
He looks terrible.
I was like, who is this guy?
Bone Soldier.
Thought they pulled a fan out from the audience to play the part.
He was terrible. He was just a dude with a crappy mask.
What do we got? Tiger Mask. Six minute match now. Tiger Mask versus Tiger the Dark.
Tiger Mask W versus Tiger Dark. It was ACH and Kotobushi.
Mm-hmm. It was okay.
3-star match. You know, it's so hard with those ridiculous cartoon masks to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they were working. They were a little slower, obviously. That thing gets in the way. But it was a sponsored match. It was a paid match.
I also feel like Ibushi is somewhere in the realm of burning all his bridges.
Yeah,
you know.
Do you think he's the CM Punk of Japanese wrestling?
I don't know what that dude's doing, but like the whole thing with WWE about how he was supposed to win the cruiserweight tournament
and then
I'm not signing with you, and then saying like I want to be a free agent, I'm gonna go back to Noah New Japan, and they're kind of like, we don't know what to do with you now.
I heard somebody told him not to sign that WWE contract. Someone under contract in the WWE that came from Japan that has had a very rough time.
Kenta?
Possibly.
Yeah.
If somebody told him, listen, if you can make money somewhere else, go somewhere else. Because Kenta has been, you know, he's one of the biggest disappointments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you think about it, injury after injury. And
that sucks, yeah.
Yeah, not good. So 3-star match. Next, so these were the pre-show matches, right?
Yeah.
Two pre-show matches. And then we got the Young Bucks. No, actually, I'm sorry. Young Bucks were number two.
Yeah.
The pre-show match was the Rumble. Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice.
Love it.
They came out in gold. I mean, they had four belts. They had the Ring of Honor title, IWGP Light Heavyweight title, the Super Kick, the PWG title, and the Super. I liked how everybody came out with their other belts, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Big show. Mm-hmm. You know, big. It felt like a big main event.
Yeah.
Right.
They did very little.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave was talking about this on today's show, Dave Meltzer. He was saying they knew what that finish was to that Okada match, and why kill yourself when nobody's going to talk about it?
Absolutely.
True. Why, you know, smart. I mean, they worked a great match. Roppongi Vice, they needed to win the title. They won the title. Trent Barreta, with this crazy dive to the outside, fell flat on his ass and was out the entire match.
Yeah.
They told a very good story about how Rocky Romero had to fight the entire match, and nobody thought he would win, and here comes Trent Barreta at the last minute and saves him, and then they do the roll-up, and they win. Right. I thought it was a nice opener.
1,000
nice.
Super kicks.
Oh, yeah, no. I stopped counting after, like, 20.
I thought it was a good match.
Romero surprised me because the face in peril thing, it gets played out after a while, but watching him do the Hulk up and then come back and to win the match essentially by himself, that was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Now this is where it started to kind of ramp up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
LIJ.
Yes.
Beat two teams.
They beat Chaos, no?
Chaos?
No, Chaos and LIJ weren't in there at the end, right?
No.
Chaos was first.
They won. Yeah. It was Chaos, it was Jado, Will Ospreay, and Yoshihashi.
I hate Yoshihashi too. I hate his Aladdin pants.
versus the Bullet Club. It was Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro Takahashi. And who won that? Who won that first part? And then it was...
And then we have Finley. Yeah. Well, Bullet Club won, beat Chaos.
Right.
And then it was Bullet Club versus Finley, Ricochet, Kojima.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. It was versus LIJ. LIJ beat Bullet Club. And then it was Finley, Ricochet, Kojima.
Right. Okay.
LIJ won.
Who were the champions?
They were the champions?
No, yeah. Finley, Ricochet, and Kojima were the never openweight six-man champs.
Yeah.
And that went right to LIJ.
Went to LIJ. Big win for them.
I'm a huge Sonata fan.
Me too. Me too. What a transition for this guy. Yeah. What a transformation as a character, as a wrestler. You know, he's not the best worker, but I think his look is a good look. You know, he's a good-looking guy, and he has the hair, and he has the look when he comes out, those masks. He's going places, that kid.
Well, Sonata's also Muda's dude.
He is Muda's dude. Yeah. Wasn't he brainwashed? Wasn't he part of James Storm's like little Asian brainwashing crew?
Where
he was brainwashing Asians?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it, right?
A little weird, yeah.
What a weird angle.
Evil. I like Evil with the little Grim Reaper outfit. And the little scythe.
I love it.
A little
love
weird. And Bushi, too. Like, they have a good look. Like, Evil is always like
Evil reminds me of this weird kid I went to school with, James Kim, okay? Mm-hmm. And he would wear this hood, and he would chew on erasers. Okay. And you know those, like, really cool erasers from Flushing?
Yeah.
Like Korean erasers. Yeah. Like, all the Korean kids had these, and no white kid knew where to get these. It did not exist in our universe. He had all these cool erasers, and he would eat them.
Jeez,
and it was always sad. Sad James Kim like this.
Because he was so sick of eating erasers?
He would just eat erasers all day. It was the weirdest thing.
He's probably dead.
This is who Evil reminds me of.
Okay, I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
They had to take his stomach out, James Kim. Stomach now.
How did you like that Bullet Babe entrance?
Oh, man. For Takahashi?
Yeah.
My God. Jesus Christ.
I feel like that was like the highlight for everybody, right?
It was, you know, those camera guys, let me tell you. I don't look at New Japan as like this like raunchy wrestling thing, but as soon as they see a babe come out, in New Japan, okay? There's only one part of the body that they zoom in on, and that's the butthole.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Forget about boobs. They don't care about boobs. Nope. Forget about the face. Forget about the legs. They just zoom in on these girls' buttholes over and over again. They would do it with Maria Kanellis constantly, where it's like the camera's like right here, you know?
They love asses, man.
They love the butts.
What kind of porno would you produce with the Bullet Babes?
With the Bullet Babes.
Oh, wow. Judging by remember, I saw this all at 1 o'clock in the morning this morning, so it would have to be a gangbang.
It would be a gangbang porn. Yeah.
It would be like all the women, one dude, and they would just take turns sitting on his face.
Would it be Bad Luck? Or would it be like
Bad Luck Fale?
I think Bad Luck Fale, no. He'd be the guy that starts it, but he gets tired.
You know who Bad Luck Fale would be? Bad Luck Fale would be Kimbo Slice when he was doing the porn. He was like the bouncer in the porn.
Yeah. Yes.
Remember that? That's who Bad Luck Fale would be.
That's right.
I would book him in my remake of Kimbo Slice's life. I would book him as
Kimbo Slice.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought, you know, I enjoy those entrances, but I think it's like so uncomfortable a little bit. You know, you're like, I had the cleaning people here yesterday, and I'm watching this, and I hear Coco go, Maron, from the living room, and I come out, and it's like the you know, like the three cleaning people are mopping, and here's Coco watching this, and it's this bunny, this Japanese bunny's butthole on my screen. And I'm like, you know, it can't be worse than like what's on daytime Spanish like the television shows, like the talk shows, you know? I'm like, God, they're used to it. It's fine.
Yeah.
No problem. They didn't even care. It was like a non-event from like, this is a big deal for you?
What's this guy watching?
Yeah.
All right. So L.A.J. wins, won the belts. And then you had Cody debuting as the American Nightmare versus Juice Robinson, which, I mean, like, you know, for Cody's debut in Japan, perfect opponent because they probably knew each other.
Very disappointed with the match.
Yeah.
So I was more impressed by C.J. Parker or Juice
Robinson.
Yeah,
by Juice Robinson's getting a big push this year because he had the win over – he got the pin on over Goto, I think. Yeah, over Goto at New Year's Dash.
Okay.
So they have a lot of big plans for him. I thought Cody's thing was really weird because he came out, no Bullet Club on his outfit except for the T-shirt, and then he took the shirt and he threw it away.
Disrespectfully, yeah.
Yeah, so – I don't know what that was. He was not on New Year's Dash, right?
I think the shirt thing was that instead of throwing it to the crowd, he just threw it behind him.
I don't know.
Saying, like, I don't need to throw this into the crowd.
But he did have a hard time because he's never worked in Japan.
Right.
He had a hard time because he was doing – the ref was yelling at him, telling him no close fists.
Right.
Because remember, in Japan, they throw the elbow and the forearm and slaps. They don't do real punches. He was throwing WWE-style punches, and the ref is, like, telling him, like,
Don't stop it.
Just hit him. It took him like 5 minutes to realize, like, oh crap, I'm throwing fists, like closed fists. And then he changed it, you know, a little bit. Yeah. But
almost 10 minutes,
2.75 stars by Dave Meltzer.
That's been my problem with Cody. Like, I've kind of railed against him since he started doing the indie circuit.
Yeah.
He just goes through the motions. You know, he's working a WWE style in the indies. So when you saw it last night, you're like, okay, here are two WWE guys. And I was just so disappointed.
More impressed with Juice Robinson. Yes. By the way, we saw Cody at Evolve.
Yes.
Yeah. I was very impressed with him that day.
He was against Hero that day, right?
He was against Hero.
Oh, no. The one we saw against All Ego.
Yeah, All Ego, Ethan Page, yeah.
Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly.
Very good match.
Yeah.
My God, stiff as hell.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are very upset that they're playing hot potato with the ROH title. Let me just tell you. The idea was not for Kyle O'Reilly to drop the title again.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle O'Reilly was given the title as an incentive to re-sign with Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. Kyle O'Reilly has not re-signed. He hasn't signed anywhere, but the options are open. And to play it safe, they gave it to someone that is under contract still.
Yeah.
So they gave it back to Adam Cole. First time, what is it? First time three-time champion?
Yes.
Or is he tied?
No, it's first time three-time.
First time three-time champion, Adam Cole. This kid, 26 years old. Adam Cole?
Yeah. 26, 27.
Very young. Has a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to beef up a little bit.
A little bit.
I know he was sick and he lost a lot of weight a couple months ago. So I see a lot of great stuff for him. He is a star in the making.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see him at this point.
When I look at him, I see him as a cross between Drew Galloway physically, like in the face, but he has like a Heath Slater kind of energy about him. So it's like they kind of had a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And they made him.
They made him. He's born 1989. Oh, Jesus Christ. There is a Damien. Damien is in the chat room, and it's not you.
No.
That's another Damien.
It's my evil twin.
It's another evil Damien.
Just name Damien. Yeah. All right. So next match, we had Chaos beating the Gorilla's Destiny and GBH.
That was a match where Camacho was just dropping MFers throughout the entire match. He was just screaming.
That's the one I skipped.
Okay. It was okay. It was actually a good match. GBH.
How many stars did it get?
I think their tag team name should be GHB.
Yes.
And they're just sleazy dudes that go to clubs and just drop roofies.
Yeah.
They look like they do.
They look like they do.
Yeah.
Hanma? Definitely.
Hanma 100%.
Hanma pops boner pills all day.
Allegedly.
The ones where you can control when you get a boner?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he just pops them all day long. Perfect. Gas station boner pills. This is where he heats up.
Hiromu Takahashi beats Kushida for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title.
Dude, what a great match.
Yeah.
First of all, I did not see Takahashi getting this.
I called it. Because they want to elevate Kushida.
Kushida's going up to the main run. Yeah, to the heavyweights. But very good match. Very, very good match. Very impressed. You know, it was so quick. These guys are so fast.
Yeah.
And you see these guys and you watch the WWE version of this, and it's not even, I mean, it's like comparing apples and cars. Really, you can't compare the work rate, even on a main, you know, here's the thing. Like, people complain about these things. You got to look at it as a grand scale, right? Like, you're not going to get this kind of matches on a regular cruiserweight show, but you should do it on your first major cruiserweight match. You should do it on at WrestleMania with these cruisers. That's how you elevate a division. People complain to, like, saying, they're saying, well, how come they don't do this on WWE? Well, they don't do it on WWE because they haven't had a platform to put on. Maybe at WrestleMania they'll go crazy with something like this. Right. This was a great example of a top-notch, perfect cruiserweight match to elevate a division. I thought Kushida was great. Kushida is moving up. Takahashi is going to be the star, I guess, of this division now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see, you know, him getting a push like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's gonna, like, and Takahashi, I always felt like he's kind of like that hybrid old school lucha style, which is kind of cool. Next match, which, if it wasn't for the main event, this would have been my match of the night.
Really?
Shibata versus Goto.
Shibata bread.
Yeah.
I like Shibata bread.
Shibata versus Goto.
It's a little crunchy, but.
He's another guy that came out with both his belts.
He did. He came out with the Ref Pro heavyweight title. Who else came out with a singles title? I forgot who it was. Hold on. Somebody else came out with another singles. Will Ospreay came out with one.
Yes.
I didn't recognize Will Ospreay yesterday, by the way.
I don't like his new dinky haircut.
Yeah, no.
I don't care for it. I liked it before when it was messy. I don't care for it now. He's on the same list he's a twink now. He's gone into the twink category. He's not my type.
And you just pound twinks. That's
like that.
So I thought this. What did this get from Meltzer?
It got 4.5 stars.
Well deserved. Shibata is unbelievable. 37 years old.
Is he 37?
37. This guy's like 6 feet tall. He looks big, and he looks like a fucking. Like a brick. Sorry for cursing. And Goto's always awesome, but this was Goto's moment, man. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about that record where they have that odd 2-2-2.
Yeah,
like two wins for Goto, two wins for
and two knockouts,
double KOs.
Two double KOs. So like this was good. A lot of good moments. Naito versus Tanahashi, another classic from two dudes who know how to put on a great wrestling match.
Yeah.
I was such a hard hitting match. Shibata had, they kind of cooled off on him this year, and I was a little surprised. I mean, listen, all these dudes are hurt, right? Shibata's hurt, and he just got married, took some time off. I was very, very impressed by this match. My God, they beat the crap out of each other. And, you know, this is a main event match. This could have been a world title match.
Watching Shibata work for me is just, he's all bathed in the kinesthesiology tape. And he just shrugs off, you know, he's just like, yeah, give me more. It's like he's a sadomasochist.
Goto had a very good match, too. Very, very good match.
Yeah.
It was a great match.
Yeah.
Here
is, so far we've had we've had Takahashi and Kushida, 4.5 stars. We have had Shibata and Goto, even better than that match, 4.5 stars. Mm-hmm. Now we're going into Naito and Tanahashi. Mm-hmm. Naito is the champion.
Yeah.
Naito was the champion going in, right?
Yeah.
Naito was the champion going in. Tanahashi, the John Cena of Japan, the veteran, debuted his new theme, which sucked. Final Fantasy haircut style,
yeah,
very nice.
Uh-huh.
That's what I want.
These dudes, slow start, but it picked up. A very traditional Japanese style, hard-hitting match. I thought this match was mind-blowing.
Loved it.
Very good match.
Very good match. And again, Tanahashi, I feel like, is hopefully not, but I feel like, you know, with the matches he's been having over the last year, he's working a slower pace. Maybe it's his time to kind of like start the retirement
slowly.
Tour.
Well, here's the thing about this, okay? You people question how Dave Meltzer comes up with these ratings, right? Mm-hmm. You watch this match and you watch another match. The people criticizing the scale are not people that genuinely see things the same way that he does,
right?
Okay. The more you watch, like, if you're not really familiar with Japanese wrestling, you're going to say, well, Dave is a little bit biased when it comes to Japanese wrestling. Mm-hmm. Okay, he is because he watches Japanese wrestling on a regular basis.
Right.
A lot of these people don't watch Japanese wrestling. I would say the same thing if I had never seen a Tanahashi or Naito match. I don't know them. I'm not invested in their character. So I would say this isn't worth my time.
Yeah.
You know what made this a four and a half star match? I would have maybe given this a little bit more. They told the story of both their knees.
Yes.
Throughout that entire match. Mm. And they sold their knees with every freaking move. They would run the ropes. They would sell the knee. They would go up on the top. They would sell the knee. They would sell each other's knee. They would hit each other's knee. The whole concept was whose knee was going to give out first.
Yeah.
And Tanahashi's gave out first.
Of course. Well, yeah. You know, like, that's a weird thing about Tanahashi, too. Like, I think he has more longevity. But I also, 10 years from now, I don't want to see him in the New Japan Rumble with Captain New Japan and, like, all those dudes.
You know?
I think he deserves better than that. And the other thing is, like, people take a dump on that Dave Meltzer scale. But if you think about it in a different, with a different mindset, I always thought that Meltzer scale was, if you're looking at a match,
the Meltzer scale.
The Meltzer scale. If you're looking at a match, thinking about the capacity for what pro wrestling can give you, I think that's more akin to what he's doing as opposed to guys working different styles for the companies they're working in, you know?
Yeah.
Okada and Kenny Omega getting 6 stars is a perfect example of that. Yeah. These guys pulled out all the stops. Everything had a reason.
Yeah.
The crowd was on fire. It was a 46-minute match. 46 minutes of these guys beating the crap out of each other. They told an amazing story. Okada's the future of the company, and he has been the future of the company for the last few years.
And he's young. He's under 30, the guy. I mean, it's unbelievable how good he is. It's unbelievable.
Kenny Omega, future part two, also. Like, if they lock him in with that contract, Omega's going to take New Japan to a different level.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that main event.
Please.
God, Okada and Omega, you know, I did not read any spoilers before this. And I was, you know, it was early. I started like 7 o'clock watching this. I went into this really thinking Kenny Omega had to win.
Same here.
Okay. I left it thinking Okada had to win. And Okada won.
Yeah.
I was 100%. It was the right move to make.
I agree.
The story that they told in that match was for Okada to win. And he cut that promo at the end. And he pretty much said, like, I'm going to lead New Japan. This is a global expansion. This is the best promotion in the world. And you know what? Kenny Omega could not have done that.
No. Yeah.
I obviously, he would have, but it wouldn't have met Okada is the future of that company. He is the rock of that company. He's the John Cena of that company and well-deserved. Everybody's praising, and I've heard a lot of people, but let's remember, Okada was in that match too.
Right.
Kenny Omega killed himself, and Okada killed himself too. This was such a violent, perfectly violent match. Everything mattered. You know, 45 minutes, and this is why this is a 6-star match and not a 5. 45 minutes these guys went, and the stuff that they did was mind-blowing. I mean, what are the spots? Go into
talk
it.
Talk about, like, there was one, I was telling Dean before we started, there was that one false finish towards the end. I think it was 15 minutes before the match ended where I got goosebumps. I think it was after a tombstone and a rainmaker, and Omega kicks out at the last second. And
like, by this, I mean, by, there's an expression in wrestling, which I'm not going to say. It's a very vulgar expression.
Yeah.
But by a hair.
Yeah.
You know? By, like, I could not believe it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story was that he could not have hit the one-winged angel.
Right. Yeah.
Not once could he hit the one-winged angel. Not once did he hit the Bloody Sunday. Not once did he hit a Styles Clash. This was a very good story that they told. The table crash, great spot.
Great spot.
So there were two spots. One was the drop kick to the back of the head from
the top.
My God. What? I mean, how were these guys not knocked out is something. I mean, they're either such precisionists when it comes to these moves, or they're just lucky as hell. The other one was a Snapdragon suplex.
From the top rope.
From the top. I did not expect them to do it. They went up, and he went in twice to do it. If you notice, the first time he lost his footing.
Yeah.
And maybe he had doubts about doing it, but they did it, and man, just landed on his neck.
Yep.
everything was just both of them just landing on their necks. And Karina had a great line. Mm. He goes, in 20 years, when he's getting neck surgery, he'll remember this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? Rightfully so. They killed each other.
So bananas, man. Like, just like the spots were great. They told such a great story. Then all the running knees from Kenny Omega. Just like the and the end, when you think they don't have anything left, it becomes as fast
rapid fire.
Than it started.
Yep. I mean, the last 10 minutes. I think it was the last 8 minutes. Kevin Kelly said
that high German from Okada also looked horrific.
Ooh, God.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, when he just dropped them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My God. Those Rainmaker after Rainmaker after Rainmaker. How many did he hit? Do you remember?
I thought it was at least, what, 5, 6?
I want to say 8.
Okay. I mean, it was like this endless...
Because you get caught up and you're like, yeah. I don't even know how many that was. But whenever I watch a strong style match, especially, I cringe. I have a Damien O scale. So it's sort of like whenever I yelp out something while watching, and you saw this at Evolve, where if they work stiff, I'm cringing in my seat. So I was telling Rich on the way over here, I'm in the cab and I'm jumping up and down the back of the cab and the guy's looking at me like I got 10 heads.
Yeah.
But it's because it's so high impact and you're right. They're telling a story and nothing's wasted. But man, how are they not dead? I have no idea.
So I watched the match twice.
Ooh.
The first time I watched it was in Japanese. And I agree with Dave. This was a 6-star match.
Right.
Second time I watched it was in English and I would not give it a 6-star match.
Without the Japanese commentary. Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a very excitable commentary.
Very excitable commentary. 6 stars, the first ever official 6-star match given ever. Dave Meltzer said that this is most likely the greatest wrestling match he has ever seen in his life, and he probably will ever see in his life. Matches like this come once in a lifetime.
Yep.
Really, when you think about what you will see again, I can't think of a match that deserves a 6-star match more than this.
That's the bar now.
This is legitimately the bar, and things like this. Listen, I'm not a mark when it comes to this kind of shit.
Yeah,
Dave Meltzer's scale is not the end all be all. But when I saw this match, and I told Jess because she was watching the end of it, and she goes, "Holy shit!"
Yeah,
and my wife doesn't really watch that much. I mean, she watches it, but she's not into it as much. Mm-hmm. She goes, they're like killing each other. Oh my God. And Coco's here and he's losing his mind.
Was he crying?
He was crying at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a tear in my eye. I turned around and I said to both of them, I go, if there is ever a scale changing match, this is it.
Yeah.
If they are going to break this scale and go from, you know, -5 to 5, this would be it because the last 8 minutes were so perfect.
Oh yeah.
It was perfect, and the right guy won. I would not have given it 6 stars if Kenny Omega won.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kenny Omega he needs to win this belt, right?
Yeah.
He needs to win it, and when he does, it'll be a major thing. I would not have these two go anywhere near each other until the summer.
I agree with that 100%.
Keep them far, far away and make it a big, make it Ollie Frazier 2.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, make it a major show, and the suggestion is when they're in San Jose. When they're in Long Beach, when they're in California for the U.S. tour. Start off the tour with Kenny Omega. He drops the title to Omega. Omega goes around the country as the IWGP title. When he goes back to Japan, drops it back to Okada. Perfect.
Makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Two things that came out of it, too, and Malone mentioned in the chat room, and I read this blurb also, that Okada said in a post-match interview that this was the first time in his life that he thought he could have died.
Wow.
Like, in the ring. Just a position to that, Kenny Omega in a post-match interview said, nobody on the WWE roster could ever have a match as good as I can.
Who said this? Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, listen, his goal was to have match of the year with last year with Naito. Naito and Tanahashi. I mean, all these matches could have been contenders. Not only did he have a match of the year, he had possibly the greatest pro wrestling match of all time.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think about the dedication this guy had to proving everybody wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a guy in developmental.
Yeah.
He was a guy in Deep South. He was a guy that they did not want there. He went up to John Laurinaitis and told him, I want to go to Japan. And John Laurinaitis said, yeah, you should go. He was wrestling dolls and children in DDT, having outdoor death matches, you know, like the forest matches that they do in Japan.
Yeah.
He did stupid, gimmicky, terrible wrestling. Not that he was terrible, but he did stupid gimmicky things. Did PWG, had some hard-hitting matches there.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up going to New Japan, became the leader of the Bullet Club, became IWGP IC champion, got the in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Won that Money in the Bank that they have, and he had the best match of all time.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his entrance?
Great.
The Terminator entrance?
Terminator
God, it was so wonderful.
Loved it. Now, here's the question. If AJ Styles and Nakamura didn't leave, if they stayed in Japan, let's say Nakamura, AJ would have left, would he have been in this picture? Would Kenny Omega been in this position right now?
No.
Sadly, we missed out on Nakamura versus Omega.
Yeah.
We missed out.
That might happen down the line, man.
Down the line,
somewhere.
Maybe. Do you think he'll go to WWE?
I was thinking about this morning. The interesting thing about Kenny Omega is that guy is such a Japanese stalwart at this point, and he's come out and said, like, I don't need to be a legend wrestling and have to wrestle for the WWE. But I do feel there's that weird gray area where you have wrestling fans who are like us who watch everything and absorb everything, but then you have, like, the majority.
Yeah.
And in the eyes of the majority, Kenny Omega doesn't exist.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, so yeah. There's that one weird thing where it's like you have to show the majority what you're made of.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they like you, exactly what's happening with AJ Styles, they'll do their research and be like, holy shit,
this guy's amazing.
This dude is the best. Yeah. You know? And I think he needs that one thing. Like one run, would he ever be WWE World Champion?
No. You're right. Eventually, yes, but maybe what, 4 years, 5 years?
They said that about Prince Devitt. You know, they were like, this guy will never be WWE champ.
But think about what we've gotten in the last year.
Yeah.
Nakamura as NXT champion. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles as WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor
first
became
Universal
champion.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens, Universal champion. This is a very different world we're in when it comes to pro wrestling, where guys that... Listen, I never thought AJ Styles would be WWE champion.
Yeah.
I would 2 years ago, I would have said, no way is he doing this.
Right.
And he is. Finn Balor, that quick to be Universal Champion, which is WWE champion, right? Let's call it the main world title.
Yeah.
Be a world champion? I didn't think so. Especially not quickly. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens, definitely. I don't think anybody thought he would be in that position.
Yeah.
So, very different world. But we still have, on top of all of that, we still have the Roman Reigns and the Big Shows. It's such a weird dynamic in the WWE.
Yeah.
Where you have guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Finn Balor, AJ Styles, these great workers. And then you have guys, you know, you have
the Big Show
and Braun Strowman, and you have Kane.
The Land of Giants.
It's so fascinating to see that, because New Japan doesn't have that. New Japan is work ethic, right? It's work rate. And you talk about companies, and you talk about the great work rate, there's nothing that comes next to New Japan when it comes to in-ring work rate.
Yep.
You want a wrestling show, nobody comes near WWE.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's bizarre. So when we compare the two, one is treated as a sport, and the other one is treated as a television production.
Yeah,
right.
Listen, I always use the expression, that all what Raw is a TV show about business owners that happen to own a wrestling promotion, right? It's The Office. Dunder Mifflin is the McMahons, and everybody else, you know, and everybody else is the supporting cast. It's a very different type of, you know, when he says sports entertainment, that's exactly what it is.
I usually equate WWE watching with going to medieval times. You go to medieval times for food.
Yeah.
You know the Black Knight's going to get killed. Spoilers for anyone who's never been to medieval times. Mm-hmm.
I don't like eating the chicken with my hands. Though.
Really? But that's the whole medieval feel.
No. I want to. And there's not enough napkins. There's not enough napkins.
But no, it's like you go to a WWE show knowing it's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's going to be pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch something like New Japan, for me, I'm more invested in the sports aspect of it all, the competition aspect of it all.
Yeah.
So guys like me or women like me are going to want to tune in to that kind of stuff. So now when I go watch a WWE event, I'm like, okay, all right, the safe spot. All right, Miz, which we'll get to Miz eventually. But it's a way different takeaway. And as a fan, you know, there's something for everybody. But a lot of New Japan stuff would never fly in WWE.
No, listen, we got tombstones and we got pile drivers and we got crazy bumps and neck spots. And none of the is why it's a six-star match, and you're never going to get this in WWE. It's not it's not Dave Meltzer being biased. It's that you will not see this in the WWE. Yeah. If you did, it would get the same rating.
Mm-hmm.
Five-star matches, four-and-a-half-star matches are given all the time in the WWE. Almost every card has a four-plus-star match now, every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns has had four-star matches almost like the last five pay-per-views.
It's fantastic.
The guy is a good worker. He's just not this type of worker.
Right. Yeah.
Here's another example. You take a guy like Camacho.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing nothing with him.
Yeah.
Nothing. You put him in Japan. You give him some creative freedom. You let him be who he is. Make him into this monster. And the guy is killing it.
It's with his brother, too.
And he's with his brother.
There's another interesting aspect of it, too, is like I think it's also like a weird bit of fandom where like people complain that WWE is not New Japan, but it can't possibly
New Japan is not WWE.
Exactly.
But it can't possibly be New Japan because, like, I would say that, you know, WWE workers are working 300-plus dates, and you can't do a New Japan-style 300-plus dates.
No. Well, here's the thing. So the argument is that I've looked at the dates, right, that they do. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say 180 dates is, like, the average. So Roman Reigns worked, like, 140 this year, and Kevin Owens worked, like, 180.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that, you know, they're all working the same amount of days, but what they do in Japan, they put you in these five-man tags every day.
Right.
You're not getting one-on-ones. They're giving you a little break. Plus, that break that you guys get every now and then really helps them heal. They work harder, but it's not 90% of the time. Most of the time, it's like these mixed tags constantly. They're in tag matches, mixed tag. Roman Reigns is doing three ways. AJ Styles is doing a match with John Cena and Dean Ambrose. You know, it's a lot of it's a little harder for them.
Plus also, the travel schedule.
Also, most people that are watching New Japan are not watching every single show.
Right.
They're not watching Dominion. They're not watching the house shows. They're not watching, you know, the Osaka shows. They're just watching couple of the big ones, maybe some of the G1, maybe the finale G1, and those are big shows. So obviously your idea is going to be of what is a good match is going to be very different. You're going to think this is way better because you watch way more WWE product.
Mm.
You're watching Raw, you're watching SmackDown, you're watching Cruisers, you're watching NXT, and then every freaking pay-per-view, and then everything online. WWE is way more accessible, so you become a little bit numb to it.
Oh, yeah.
New Japan, it's like this new, you know, for a lot of people, it's this new thing. And even for me, you know, I watch all the shows. I don't watch a lot of the house shows.
Right.
But I've been watching it for 20 years. You know, I could tell you there are a lot of bad New Japan shows out there.
Yeah.
A lot of not events. A lot of mixed tags that are like, okay, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Wrestle Kingdom and then you say, well, Raw, how could I watch Raw again? It's not even comparable.
Right.
What, you know what? Let's watch WrestleMania. And let's watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, okay, how different were they from each other? And I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to enjoy WrestleMania a little bit more.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're going to say, well, WrestleMania was a bigger event. It felt bigger. Even though
the atmosphere.
The atmosphere. It's the whole thing. You got to compare them evenly. You know, listen, we probably will get a five-star match at WrestleMania this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's quite possible. Rumble's going to be a great pay-per-view. NXT is going to be a great takeover. When we compare these things, let's compare it. You know, let's be honest about what we're comparing. That's all.
Also, I also think that there's a lot to be said about the guys in every company now having eyes on other products, having eyes on, even Seth Rollins tweeted about New Japan, you know, and that's something that wouldn't have happened 10, 15 years ago.
No, you like, never acknowledged it. Ever.
Like, I think when Punk was in his prime, he was like one of the only dudes handing out like New Japan DVDs to guys and saying like, yo, watch this stuff, it's good, you know, like, and a lot of times I feel like, you know, that bubble has been burst now, like these guys aren't living in a bubble anymore, like they're actually saying like, holy shit, like I'm friends with this guy and look at the match he's having, you know, like I'm friends with Kenny Omega, oh my god. You would think that as a pro wrestler you would want to push yourself more, and I think that's the evolution that we're in now, where it's like you're getting, people are watching each other, and you're getting more and more high-quality matches. In the past year, how many excellent matches has WWE had?
Oh, every pay-per-view. Every pay-per-view has a four-star match. Mm-hmm. It's a great match.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the reality is, when you watch, people that watch New Japan are watching it because they generally enjoy pro wrestling. People that watch WWE watch it for a wide range of things. Some people watch it because they love Total Divas. Some people watch it because They love the storyline. Some people just love John Cena. Some people watch Raw only.
Yeah.
Some people watch it because they absolutely hate it. I think there it's a broader audience when it comes to WWE product compared to Japan, because with Japan, listen, I was part of that tape trading thing. I would watch those Misawa stuff, you know, from the early 90s. I used to get tapes all the time for All Japan. So the way that I watch wrestling is very different from the 18-year-old kid is that it's going to say, Roman Reigns is the best wrestler. I love Roman Reigns. Why do people hate him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very different perspective. And he's not wrong
for
loving Roman Reigns. Right, and I'm not wrong for loving Japan and thinking AJ Styles is great. Listen, at the end of the day, whatever fucking makes you happy.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? If you watch this and you're happy, you should be. If you watch this and you're miserable, you should not watch it.
Yeah. No, it's
true. Don't drive yourself nuts. So New Year's Dash happened. I have some of the spoilers if you guys want it.
Sure.
Yeah, please.
Yoshihashi got a roll-up on Adam Cole, which means he's owed a title shot for the Ring of Honor title. I hate Yoshihashi. New Japan New Beginnings in Sapporo will have English commentary. This is courtesy of Reddit, by the way. Elgin pinned Naito with the Burning Hammer and challenged Naito. Dragon Lee also showed up and challenged Takahashi for the IWGP Junior title. Kushida wasn't so pleased to see Dragon Lee show up and make the challenge. Osprey and Shibata have started a rivalry over the RPW title.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Very cool. Juice Robinson pinned Goto and is next in line for the NEVER Championship.
All right.
Suzuki Gunn returned and Suzuki challenged Okada. That was great to see Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith. Suzuki Gunn came in with Kanemaru, which pretty much confirmed the rumors that Bushiroad paid for his contract when he joined Ring of Honor, joined NOAH last year. Oh, that's interesting. So they were doing that partnership. Killer Elite Squad laid out IWGP titles, laid out the challenge. Who's Killer Elite Squad? It's Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tanahashi, Taguchi, and Nakahashi are now the new NEVER Open Trios champions.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
They are pushing Nakahashi a little bit this year. Yeah. And I have to tell you, this guy is not that great.
Mm. Interesting.
He's a big dude, though. He's a big ham. Big Japanese ham.
Yeah.
So that was New Year's Dash. That once again, they set up for the year. This is how they do it.
They want the land of giants in Japan.
So we've been doing this for about an hour now. Do you, under an hour, a little bit. Do you want to just touch on Raw?
Sure. Yeah. What's up with that?
I do not want to download new drivers.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay,
thank you.
I thought
thank
that
you.
Was the stop one.
No. Let's touch on
more porn. Great.
Yeah.
Raw was awesome.
Raw was good. Raw was not bad.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. SmackDown was great also. Two very solid shows that set up for, you know, we're in the good season now, right? We're in the time where things are happening.
Yeah.
We don't have filler, that much filler. I enjoyed Raw this week.
Yeah. SmackDown was better.
SmackDown was
better.
It always is.
So weird.
Now, is SmackDown better because it's 2 hours, or is it better because the head writer?
I think the writing is better.
Yeah.
It makes sense, right? SmackDown makes sense, and if you watch SmackDown and you watch Raw, Raw will have things that don't lead to anything. They'll have like stupid slop in the, you know, they'll have a great example of Raw is every Godwin's match when they would pour slop on on Sonny, right?
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that clip?
Yeah, I see it.
What is Vince saying?
What is he saying?
Nobody knows.
Was he jizzing on himself?
Oh, I don't know. He lost his mind. By the way, that is the Vince McMahon booking.
Yeah.
He loves puke. He loves poop. He loves farts. He loves slop.
Mm-hmm.
He loves all bodily fluids. He's out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
There is a clip going around the internet, and it's one of the Godwins pouring a bucket of slop on Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great example of the nonsense you get on Raw.
Yeah.
You will see that time. You won't see that on SmackDown.
Yeah.
On Raw, you will see it. If I saw that every week, I would not be surprised. You know, so, like the champagne thing on Steph and the party, you know, that whole thing. But Raw this week was very good. I thought that ending was great. It showed that...
The double spear ending
I really liked.
So, perfectly timed.
But look at how many things you set up in that one thing, right? Yeah, when they want to do it right, they do it right. You had Chris Jericho in there and Kevin Owens. They set that up.
Yes.
You had Roman Reigns and Goldberg possibly set up. You had Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns set up. You had Braun Strowman and Goldberg set up. You had Goldberg and, and Kevin Owens set up. Jericho, even. You could have that grudge match. Yeah. So they set up like a year's worth of booking in one segment.
A year's worth of Goldberg.
A year's worth of Goldberg. You know what, though? I don't know how much Goldberg I want to see.
I know, yeah.
But I do want to see Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Oh, they also set up Heyman. You know, that's whatever spot's going to happen between Goldberg and Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I'm curious on how this is going to play out.
At the Rumble?
At the Rumble.
A double elimination.
You think so? Yeah. Who eliminates them? They eliminate each other?
I think they just get so into it that they go over the top rope. Okay. Or Braun eliminates
I'm booking it right now. Yeah. You guys ready?
Go ahead.
Goldberg goes for his spear.
Mm-hmm.
Brock catches him. Goes for an F5 and he just takes off, leaves the arena. Yeah, just goes like this and just leaves.
Helicopter.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, they set up a lot of things here, and they're all good stuff.
Yeah.
They set up some really solid stuff. Next week will be a great, great Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels is back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Taker.
Mm-hmm. No, the rumors. It's rumors.
Oh, sorry. Rumors.
But they did create a promo pack and announced that he's going to be there. But it's rumors of Undertaker showing up.
Yeah.
Undertaker was on the Raw brand, showed up on SmackDown, said that he's back, and then disappeared, and now he's back on Raw. So I don't know what they're doing here.
Fake Undertaker.
Fake Taker.
Under Faker.
Yeah, Under Faker. What are they doing with Taker? He's going to announce he's in the Rumble?
The way I watched, when I was watching SmackDown, they had the Raw promo, and my wife was kind of not watching, and then she was like, oh, did they screw up? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, what's up with the Shawn Michaels Undertaker thing? I was like, oh no, they're coming back to do, I don't know what they're doing, but they're showing up, and because they have that promo where it looks like they're going to fight each other.
Yeah, so this is what I would do, okay? Michaels doesn't want to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Use him in the Rumble, okay? Taker shows up in the Rumble, clears out the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Music hits, HBK. They do the stare down.
Yeah.
They don't even touch.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody comes in.
Yeah.
I would just run that spot. You hint, you allude to it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would have, at one point, I would have Goldberg, I would have Taker, I would have Shawn, and I would have Hunter in the ring.
That'd be amazing.
You got to run that spot. You have so many like older, I mean, you have Lesnar, you have maybe Taker, right? Taker probably in the Rumble. Let's guess.
I think he's going to win.
Do you think Taker's going to win?
I've heard that. Yeah. I heard a lot of people mention that Taker
You know what?
Win.
I would not be disappointed with that.
I think
really
Taker's going to win, and I think you're going to get that, like we called it, like that weirdo moment where John Cena beats AJ Styles, becomes a 16-time champ, drops it to Taker at WrestleMania.
So have they been playing up the 16-time champion?
Not at all.
Not yet. I don't know if that's them overthinking the booking, like, well, if you tell them it's his 16th time, everybody's going to think he's going to win, so we're not going to do it. But I really genuinely, you know, that 16th time should be at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe Styles, Cena at Mania. I would, but they've wrestled like 500 times already.
Yeah.
And there's so many key elements here. And I did, you know, I've gotten, last year at this time, I was told about Goldberg. Actually, it was December 5th, I was told about Goldberg signing. And you said I was nuts.
Yes.
You
I still don't believe it.
You still don't believe it. I was told that Goldberg is coming in, and they're working, they're talking, and it's not going to be through WWE. It's going to be through the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it on the air. I said Goldberg will show up. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard a lick of information for Mania. Not a peep.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything about Rumble. I've heard nothing. Either Vince has assassinated all the sources. I mean, the people that I know stuff, but nobody is talking.
Right.
So I expect something big leading up. Apparently, Roman Reigns' plans did not happen.
Yeah.
There was a big return. Something was happening with Roman, and it did not happen. I have no idea what it was. That's what everybody has said.
Mm-hmm.
There's something big happening, and that's when nobody talks. That's the best time. You know something's going to happen when nobody's talking.
Mm-hmm.
You have Taker. You have Shawn. You're in the Alamo Dome. You have Brock. You have Goldberg. You have Hunter.
Yeah.
This is a big show. Mm-hmm. 60,000 people in this goddamn Alamo. They're probably going to do 48.
Yeah.
48.5, I'm going to say, with tickets given. So they'll do 37. They'll give away a bunch of radio promotion, a bunch of tickets. It's going to be a big event. Don't know. This could go in 5,000 different directions. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Goldberg, Taker. Lesnar, Hell in a Cell. Underwater.
Triple threat. Underwater. A suspended cell.
Suspended cell.
The Shark Tank.
The Shark
over
Tank
the cell.
Over the cell. By the way, that Shark Tank thing, it's all to sell that stupid toy.
Yeah.
Is oh yeah.
That's why. Oh. That is why. And the Shark Tank thing was, this is the story I was told, and it's brilliant. They have this new toy with the Shark Tank, right? Mm-hmm. And they had, like, it's part of, like, the ring set, and it's suspended over with the crane. And they're like, well, we got to market this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what can we do? He goes, and somebody in creative remembered that Paul Ellering was suspended over a cage 500 years ago in a Legion of Doom match, in a Road Warriors match. So they're like, oh, my God, we got Paul Ellering. Let's work this into NXT. And there you go. We just did it.
Yeah.
Vince saw it and goes, why are we promoting it in NXT? This makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers that. Doesn't make sense. And he's right. So he pushed it to be on Raw.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
He got jealous of Paul Ellering. And nobody remembers this.
We do.
I never saw it. It doesn't exist.
He's going to be very excited because of all the meat on Monday night that's going to happen.
Oh, so much meat on Monday night.
So much beef.
It's going to be a big ratings for Raw. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I say 3.2.
They're still going to get beat by SmackDown.
No, what happened? What was the ratings this week? Do we know what the SmackDown ratings were?
Raw went back up to 3.1 million viewers this week.
Let's see. SmackDown ratings. Because last week I was so wrong about the ratings. Final ratings last week for SmackDown. Did SmackDown defeat Raw? This is 2 days ago. Okay, let's see. Oh, no. This is last week. Why is it last week? I want this week's ratings. Anybody have it in the chat room before I put my foot in my mouth? Final ratings for last week's Raw. Why? Everything is last week's Raw. December 30th. No, why can't I find this? WWE SmackDown Live results. Nobody. Nobody has the ratings.
Damien, who do you think is going to win the Rumble?
Jeez. Miz.
Yeah. Oh,
Trina
boy.
Says a 12.8 for SmackDown.
Treehouse
Vince, sorry.
Oh my God, we just combined a Treehouse and Trina.
Treehouse. SmackDown might come out today. Okay, maybe it'll come out today. I don't know. But
I want Miz to win the Rumble, actually.
Dude, okay, so did you see the Talking Smack section?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about that.
If you go back and you rewatch all the interactions with Daniel Bryan and The Miz and the promos that he's cut, I just felt like I was watching a petulant child finally get fed up with his dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm busting my hump and you don't appreciate me. And it twisted everyone to think, wow. Miz has really, since the brand split, stepped his game up exponentially. And I'm thinking, I hated this dude in general, not in a good way. I just hated him.
Yeah.
Now it's one of those things where if they gave him another world title run, I wouldn't hate it. Yeah. I'd actually would like it because he needs to be elevated past the IC title. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has to make sense, though, for him. That's the thing. Like, right. You need the Miz to make sense, especially with having Cena and Styles as, like, the top two guys on the show.
Right.
That Ambrose match was awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow, SmackDown was down a lot, 2.59, so 2.6 million, down almost 300,000 views.
Not enough else worth.
What was on? What was on Tuesday? Was there something on?
Not that I recall.
Why would it be so low? That's a lot of people. Well, I mean, Cena came back, so it was big. I wonder if there was something else on Tuesday.
Mm. It's not a big gap, though.
I mean, it's down 300,000 viewers. That's a tremendous drop. Yeah,
but the gap between Raw and SmackDown this week wasn't that big, you know?
500,000, yeah.
Comparatively.
The Wall debuted. I don't know what that is.
What the heck is that?
The Wall.
Wasn't that wrestler from WCW?
The Wall, yeah, Berlin, yeah.
Yeah, Berlin.
Like Pink Floyd?
Alex Wright?
maybe people are napping for Wrestle Kingdom, maybe. It's possible. New Japan World, 10,000 new subscribers the day of the event.
Beautiful.
55% Wonderful. Of them coming from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So major, major gains for them. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money for them. 10,000 times 10 bucks. That's like $5 million.
Damn.
No, I don't know. I'm just making numbers up. Anything that we're missing here?
I think we're good. I think today we were pretty much like, let's just talk about NJPW. Pretty much, man.
Yeah.
Just going to go around chopping people rapidly from now on.
Oh, man. I have to tell you, great, great show. If you have not watched it, guys, there's a bunch of people watching this right now. Do yourself a favor. Just watch the clips. Go on YouTube. Go on Daily Motion. I'm all for supporting and paying for the service. Mm-hmm. But if you're not familiar with wrestling, Japanese wrestling, I highly suggest just watch the last 10 minutes of that Okada Omega match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you guys, well worth it. before we wrap up, I want to remind everybody we are on Patreon. Patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. Go there, fund us, and you get access to these bonus shows that we do. We have to do one for Rumble. Mm-hmm. Rumble's the next bonus show. I'm going to tell you, it's going to get nuts for Rumble. Yeah. We have a Rumble pool. Are you coming on Rumble?
Should be.
Okay. We're going to do our Rumble pool, meaning if you are at my party, it is a $7 buy-in.
Okay.
And you draw numbers. Last year, I won $150. Wow. So the way that we do the pool is that we have, not only do you draw numbers for the Rumble, but you also draw certain things. There's side bets happening. And also the card is actually involved. It's a very complicated scheme that we run here, mm-hmm. where I always win. That's how it works.
The house wins.
The house always wins.
It's like Vegas.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. Vegas. So last year, it was $150.
Nice.
Yeah. You didn't come last year.
No. I'm probably going to be out of town this year also. Maybe.
Why? Why do you ruin my life?
I have to.
Why?
That's what I do.
Fine. All right, guys. Go to our website, jfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Guys, please leave us a review. Leave us a YouTube review. I genuinely need these. I need YouTube subscribers. I need iTunes reviews. I need it all. 100%. I definitely need it all. So please, guys, go and do this for us. Damien.
Yes, sir.
The Last Mark Standing.
Last Mark Standing. LastMarkStanding.com. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Indie Pop on the New Age Insiders Network. Me at Dare to Be Damien. Tweet the show at Last Mark Podcast. And my broadcast partner, Trina, at The Marky Smark.
The Marky Smark. Trina should be on in a couple of weeks, actually. Trina should be on. Brian Alvarez is coming in. Skype. Not in studio. And then I had somebody else. Who else?
Oh, JTR. Stevie Richards. Don't you have Stevie?
JTR and Stevie. Justin Robert Young.
Justin Robert Young, Stevie Richards, all coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we're packed. Guys, that's it for this week. Take care for now.
Later.
Later.